Welcome to the Dope CFO Podcast, where you can find the best information for accountants and bookkeepers that want to start and grow a highly profitable and flexible remote cannabis accounting firm. With your host, Andrew Hunziker. Now that's dope.
Hey everybody, this is Andrew Hunziker, CPA, also CFO, founder of Dope CFO as well. About my background, I've been a CPA for over 25 years, was at a big four, including PricewaterhouseCoopers. I won the gold medal award for the highest score in the CPA exam, as well as was runner up for the Portland, Oregon Business Journal CFO of Year Award in 2017. And I was the first ever cannabis CFO to be nominated. Done lots of startup work as well. And love teaching all of our community. We have now over 500 people in all 50 states in our Dope CFO program. Hello, everybody. Today, back on Thursday, hope everyone's having a good busy season. This topic, I'm trying to think how I want to frame this. So if you're going to go out and launch your own firm, you need to think through a couple things before you launch your firm. First and foremost, what most people do, whether they're CPA, CMA, bookkeeper, accountant, most of them do the same thing. They go out and they offer a bunch of line item services to clients, bookkeeping, bank recs, payroll, tax returns, for a fee. That's very, very stressful, and they're generalists. They do that for everybody. And usually that means you're just going to be serving people in your neighborhood. So you're going to have lots and lots of clients. They're not going to pay you much money. Now, a better model in my mind would be to do everything clients need, which is, yes, bookkeeping, payroll, and tax returns, but also CFO services, software help, compliance, pretty much anything and everything they need, capital raises, legal structuring. We get our foot into everything as much as we can. So that's one thing. If we can offer a client everything, they'll pay us more and we need fewer clients. That solves right off the bat your marketing problem and finding clients. If you go deep with fewer clients, you know, you can build a $1 million firm with two or three clients instead of 50. So that solves a huge piece of your marketing problem, because really you can start with just one great client, do great work for them. They'll refer you to one or two more. There you go. You're done on the marketing side. Secondly, picking a great niche is huge. Cannabis, CBD, hemp is the best niche, in my opinion, right now in the U.S., growing the most rapidly. We're going to see sizable growth. If you serve one and only one niche, you can go in deep. You can learn the software. You can learn the issues around the products and the brands and the banking and the insurance, the payroll, all of it. And you can be a true expert in everything those clients need. So you'll be able to find clients easier. You'll be able to provide them better service. You'll be able to make more money because they'll pay more for an industry expert than they will a generalist. And finally, it's lower stress and more fun. You do the same thing for every client. So most of you already know those two things. Go deep, pick one niche. Actually, the second one more than the first. If you get those two right, you're well on your way. In year one, or maybe half of year one, going to the 80-20 rule, 80% of your efforts will, or 20% of your efforts will realize 80% of the results. And so in year one, we want to really focus on building what we call VIP, deep dive into the industry, building our thought leadership, gaining more expertise, participating, going to events, being in digital groups, really participating. That'll help us find clients easier, but it will also make us learn more. And if we do those efforts really deep in year one, or at least the first 6 to 9 months, that will pay off the rest of your career. So by year two and three, as you're actually out there serving those clients and doing a great job, maybe 10% of your time is on industry events or an organization or a webinar. And it's super easy because you already planted those seeds. You're in there as well. So again, starting the firm is right. Make the decision on what you're going to offer, which in my opinion, deep dive, do everything. We don't charge hourly. We charge for a value-based fee. We look at that fee. Pricing is huge too in this model. We don't want to offer someone everything for $3,000 a month. That's not going to work. You're going to get mad and be like, I don't have time to deal with this one client at $3,000 a month. They're going to be mad because you promised them everything. So you got to price high. And you also got to look at your fee every quarter. So we don't worry about scope creep in this model. They can add anything and everything they want. And as they grow, we just increase our fee every quarter. If we were doing $8,000 a month and they added a new dispensary and wanted us to take over HR and compliance this quarter, great. We'll go to $12,000 a month. Next quarter, maybe nothing happens and we keep it $12,000 a month. Next quarter, we look at it. So we don't worry about it. Just bring it to us. We'll do it. We'll take care of it. We'll be your number two, I say, for any CEO. Their number one will be number two, and we're going to get paid accordingly. We will be paid the second highest. So if we do those things at the outset around what we offer, the right niche, how we price it, how we offer it, we're off on the right foot. Then we can have our SOPs as we jump in and impress the heck out of them. So we're going to have SOPs around onboarding, setting up perpetual data rooms, and making sure we get a detailed PC and we actually get all the things we need. Making sure our chart of accounts is tailored for the niche. Making sure we have controls documents tailored for the niche and we actually do walkthroughs. SOPs on all that stuff we've got to have. And then same for day-to-day, how we do cleanup, what we do at month end, if we're in cannabis, how we do cost accounting, what are our reports, what are our dashboards, metrics, benchmarks, all that stuff, so that we can add value in a deep way, have our clients audit ready, able to deal with their investors and lenders every single month and their board on time, and that adds huge value. And so we got to have all those SOPs in place and set up. And then in a perfect world, if I have three clients and say they're each paying me $250,000 to $300,000 a year, that's almost $1,000,000. I'm done with all that stuff by the 20th every month at the latest. What do I do those last 10 days? I am deep dive focusing on where I can help. I'm bugging them about software, or HR, or expansion, or strategy, or cash flow, or analytics, or whatever it is. It may be different on each client, maybe different each month. That's my value time. And so that's kind of the way. Let me make sure I'm hitting some of these. And again, that's making sure we have these systems and we manage our time. And so if the client's taking more time, the fee's going up. And guess what? I'm not doing it all. I'm, as the fee goes up, maybe they hit $25,000 a month, but I'm bringing on two other people under me to do a lot of the legwork day to day. And so our time, you can manage your own time and your own fee every single month. Very easy to do. So that's super key. Then on time management, if you have struggles on time management, if you are the CEO of your firm, so whether you're the CEO of a furniture company or a high-tech company or an accounting firm, you got to be ready to go all in. You got to be available for your clients, but you also got to manage your time. I'm going to end the call with, or the live with this. I'm going to toss this link in here. There's something I use. It's called, developed by Dan Sullivan, but this was just a blog. And it talks about the system that he developed around focus days, free days, and buffer days. And in this blog, they're saying free days come first. So free days is you do whatever you want. You play. You literally do everything possible to not touch work on those days. You don't check email. You don't check social media, Slack, all of it. You just turn it off and go skiing or walk your dog or do whatever you want. Take a free day. Focus days are days where you also aren't checking emails and doing whatever. That may be, for me, 2 or 3 days a month, but where I'm like, okay, I block the whole day out. Maybe it's a Tuesday, whatever day, block that day out, and I am going to create content, or for me, webinars or whatever it is, project work. And then buffer days, the way I've structured your buffer days, to me, that's all the crap. emails and messages and paying bills and reconciling bank statements and doing payroll and filing tax returns and all that stuff, I've got a checklist of all of it. And every Tuesday and Thursday, I look at it, I do stuff I can do. And then I do it usually in an hour or two, Tuesday mornings, and then I'm done until Thursday. So two times a week, I deal with all that crap, mail, emails, whatever, bank recs, Visa, my Visa card, downloading it to QBO. And that way I just know the rest of the week I don't deal with that stuff. Now I do keep up on my main core work email just to make sure I'm responsive to people, but that's super easy too. I maintain inbox zero every day. We all maintain inbox zero in one way or another, and so why not actually make it inbox zero? You can have, like my wife, 50 emails. She always maintains it. Well, I got it down to 20. And then she'll go another week. And oh, it's up to 40. Got it back down to 20. And so that's her inbox zero is 20. But that means she's always looking at 20. Why not just get it to zero? You've got to get it there at some point. You've got to address each one. And so usually by the end of the day, each day, I'll just go through and either many emails are junk or no response needed. Many other emails are super quick response. Thanks. Or someone wants to book a call with me. I don't waste time emails back and forth. Great. Book a call on my calendar. There it is. Boom. And then I manage my calendar block out when I don't want people booking a call. Or someone says they want me to do something. Andrew, you need to do this tax return by Thursday or whatever. I just put it on my buffer list and I'm going to check Tuesdays and Thursdays. I got to do this thing. Put it on there. Gary wants the tax data on Thursday, March 12th. And then I delete the email. It's gone. It's on my list. I don't need to see it in my email as well. So those are some very simple hacks for just managing your time in your life and not going crazy and your firm. And then again, try to do... break it up. And again, year one, you're that... So by, say, year five of your firm, you are managing client works. If, say, you're a Monday to Friday person, most of your time's on client work, and then 10 to 15% is maintaining your education, maintaining your participation as a thought leader within key groups, and paying bills or whatever, and then most of it's on client focus. Well, say year one, you have no clients, and you just lost your job. 80% of your time or 100% of your time is on... maybe still 25% on education, joining groups, participation, or on education instruction, but 80% on that, getting what I call the P, immersing myself. What are groups are out there, digital, real world, I'm joining them, I'm getting active, I'm posting on comments, I'm immersing myself. That will lead to those first clients. So anyway, I hope this helps you all out, and have a great day. You've been listening to the Dope CFO Cannabis Accounting Podcast. Every other Monday, we air tips and insights on cannabis and CBD hemp accounting. Make sure you subscribe today and also check us out on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube. We're pretty much everywhere for more advice, tips, industry news as well. To find out more about our cannabis and CBD accounting program, visit dopecfo.com and don't forget to be dope.